You see, all this opening of chakra that people talk about are mainly the Hindu teaching, or what they call the Kundalini type of teachings. They believe there are seven major chakras. You know what are chakras? Energy center. Because these nerve centers, there are certain centers that vibrate. So it's in these seven, they are connected. And they are the mimic of the universe. It seems, according to their religion. That's why they say they are born in the image of God. Their nature is God. So these seven chakras are like major constellation of star system, understand, that control. And these seven, they actually control the rest. Just like our seven major chakras control our physical body and our nervous system, then there are minor, what they call chakras, they call nadis. But these are all mainly Hindu teaching. The Buddha didn't go into it. The Buddha didn't even want to talk about it. But if you do awareness-based meditation, then you will finally come to locate, but not easy to locate. There is a gateway to our nature. So you go through the gateway to our nature, connected to our nature, then that is the safest way. Because that one, the moment it goes through the gateway, whatever energy you have externally in you, it just melts inside and become pure energy. Then this pure energy is intelligent. It will activate and transform your internal nerve centers. Wherever it needs to go, it will go, it will go. There's no interference from the top. So what happened is, I remember during the early days when I was doing it, it moved by itself. That's why we had the force support trust. Trust means trust your nature to do. That's why completely silent. Allow the awareness nature to detect the gateway. But the gateway is also the unconditioned, like our true mind. But there is only a point somewhere in your body where you can access it. So because it's only a point, the analogy I give is like if you have one section of the wall, all painted white. But there's a small point where you can maybe go in and connect to the other side. But you cannot see it. It's so fine. And the more difficult part is not only use something to look for it. You cannot. If you use your thought, you cannot go in. It will not open. You have to use your true mind, your silent mind. Then when it detects, because you didn't do anything, that nature draws. Then it naturally goes in. Then when it goes in, a lot of things will happen. Different people use different description to describe it. So, but the one that go through, they will know. Then when this thing happened, I still remember in the year 1989 when it happened, I was completely still. Because that thing went in and moved by itself. Then I become so still. Not only no thought, the whole internal becomes so still. Then the brain here all quiet, completely quiet. Then my body keep on that nature transforming it. It moves inside and it do all the things. I didn't do agent witness. That awareness just witness. Then, of course, like I explained, the byproduct is mainly gas. But this kind of gas that come out, no foul smell on. Yeah, it's not from the intestine. Understand? It's through the gateway. The other thing is, as this one goes in and activate and transform, I realize my consciousness, my awareness, that nature, become more and more refined, more and more refined. And that vibration like become very, very fine. Until finally, the mundane mind cannot take that vibration, too gross. That's why it has to collapse. That's how the mundane mind collapse. And you can feel it. At the forehead there, a lot of things will happen. There is like a layer of thick consciousness drop off. It takes a while to drop off. That's why when Ajahn Buddhadasa, he mentioned, he has a statue, I don't know, it's Kuan Yin or what. It's a statue, it look like Kuan Yin, I think, Avalokiteshvara. Then he has a wheel, you know what it's a wheel, V-E-I-L. In his talk, he shared with the disciple, is it? He said, enlightenment is like that. It's like there is a wheel that wheel or cloud your nature, cloud your ability to have the direct seeing and the awakening. The moment that wheel drop off, he said, he can see everything, he understand. I believe his mundane mind also dropped. Otherwise, he cannot give this analogy. But it's not recorded in the sutta and in the commentary. And he dared to say. So that was the only monk I realized talked about that. But he didn't describe it the way I described. He just said like a wheel, V-E-I-L. It just dropped off. To me, he's describing very lightly the mundane mind. So unless you go to, you cannot understand. And it's not easy for the mundane mind to drop off. Then I remember at that time when that thing happened, my whole body was like in perfect health or because of the pure energy. It's like your car, you go to the mechanic and you tune until the car got no sound. The engine very small. Very slow. Then that time you can feel you are like in perfect health. So that's why when you talk about chakra, be careful. Don't be too greedy and too eager to assess without understanding or knowing. You know, all this, as far as I know, are thought-based energy field. You know, when you direct your thought to that area, Tan Tien or forehead or the heart chakra or anywhere, that thought is energy, understand? If you keep on like those who store the thing at the Tan Tien, they keep on sending their thought there. Their thought. Okay. So they stay there, stay there. To them it's like awareness, but it's not really right. It's the thought, it's the mind. Then this one, energy build. The what they call it the Satsahara, the major chakra at the forehead up there, it's the same. The Kundalini. They go and use the thought. You can also release the energy. The chakra are major energy center. So when they store them, they actually open up the chakra and release a lot of energy. That's why those who do Kundalini, they know Kundalini is very powerful. But I have seen a group of people who follow one Swami from India who came over for 1 week. They went for retreat. Then after 1 week, all of them like become, I don't know how to describe, they develop problem, but they go and actually do it. And then after he's gone, there's nobody to guide them. So they got a lot of what they call problem. A lot of them got karmic problem and all, say, and very severe. So it's like, they tamper with it, then they don't know what to do with it. It's like half-baked. Then in the year 1989, after I had the understanding, one of these guys who was actually the leader of that group, he got psychiatric problem, family problem, children or business all affected because of what he did. But he didn't know it was that energy field, that psychic and all those things. Then finally, somehow very strange, he end up seeing a lot of doctor. Nobody can help. Then he went and see my classmate, my Alastair classmate, also Theo, Dr. Theo. He went and consult him. Then my classmate is very different one. He very good doctor. He checked his body. His health was very good. He got no problem. So he knows it's psychological problem. But he cannot explain. Yeah, everything go wrong. So what happened was, my this classmate didn't even tell me. He said, "I think my friend can help you." He gave me my phone number. And the guy called me. And he said, "Who are you? Who asked you to call me?" He said, "I consulted this doctor. This doctor Theo." He named the name. Theo Kim Loon. Huh? I said, "Yeah, I know him. He's my friend." He said, "You can help me." Well, you know, I really said. Then I asked him, "What is your problem?" Then he told me about his condition, but he don't want to go deep into his business failure or those things. Then he asked me, he said, "Can you help me? Can I come over to see you?" And all those things. It seems he, after he got all this trouble, he went to KYCO, Kuan Yin Contemplative Order. You heard of it? Huh? KYCO, you all didn't hear. During the 80s, 90s, very popular. I think Jan Tano, huh? There is this Tony something. The brother actually got cancer, or don't know what. Then they tried to seek cure. Then nobody can actually help. If I'm not wrong, he's a Christian, actually. Then finally, he said, "Whatever being can help, I will believe that teaching." Then somehow Kuan Yin got affinity, came to him, then advised him, instructed him, and the brother recovered. That's why he set up the KYCO. And the book, every year they got one book, very thick one. So he every year come and offer me the book. Then when he asked me how I do my meditation, then he told me about the Swami and all those things, but he never tell me his problem and all. Then I said, "The type of meditation I don't teach one, very energy field, topics and all things, psychic, you know." Then he said, "What do you do?" So I told him the Theravada tradition, radiate metta, because I know he got a lot of this negative thing. I said, "You must do metta." He cannot do. Then later on, I said, "You want to understand, you have to develop the understanding of the Buddhist teaching." So he finally turned out only follow me to do the dana and offering. Then one day he heard my last guide, after don't know what condition, he came to Singapore. Then I told you, six times the condition gave me, call me. Of course, through the Singapore friend. I'm not supposed to meet him. But that time, 89, I already understood the number. But very strange, no? I saw the condition keep on coming out. Normally, two, three times, I know already I must meet or I must go. Then I finally, the nature tell me, "This guy, I don't know who he is, but I have to see him. That's all I know." Now, the moment I met him, then I understood. So after I have the understanding, after he has helped me, then I do the thing. Then this guy who came and see me actually is mechanical engineer, more senior than me, about 4 or 5 years. So what happened was, he wanted me to introduce my teacher to him. I say, "I cannot, because these are all Theravada tradition. Then Master Chen Wai is a Mahayana." But he said, "Your last one in Singapore, can we go and see him?" I said, "Can I?" So he go. He got affinity, you know. So he, after a few days there, he decided to invite him over. He said, "Did we invite him over to Malaysia?" Yeah. I think they can sense through their karmic thing or what. But my dear last guy, yeah, he's an occult specialist, you know, he know energy thing, right? He know how to deal with all this sort of thing. Wow, he told me, yeah. He said, this group of people, they don't know what they are doing. They go and tamper through thought all their chakra. Because he said their energy is so negative. You know? Negative means that he is not a Buddhist. Negative means a lot of karmic thing. That's why they all, everyone, haywire. A lot of things went wrong. Everything went wrong. Business went wrong. The children got problem. The house got problem. A lot of problem until he cannot take it. Then later on, I teach him to make offering. Yeah, he brought the KOIC book. I said, Kuan Yin is great compassion, and loving kindness. So you do. I said, yeah, I think it helped. It helped. He slowly sees some result. That's why he was very happy. Then when he met my last guy, again, go back to energy. Because that guy helped him to throw all those negative. He got to cleanse them, no, cleanse them. No. Then he told me, he said, he used his physical body as a funnel to release all this negative energy, you know, back to nature. And he told me, never touch all this sort of thing. I said, all along, I cannot touch it. So if you are not careful, you don't have a good guide, somebody who can guide you, you better don't touch the thing. But this is my personal experience. This guy finally became very close to me also, family friend. But then after, I think, the year 2008, then we separated because of certain incident. Then that first batch, the group all, they follow him. Then the whole thing dispersed. Then I continue with what I share. But then after that, it seems he also passed away. So I also don't know what happened to the group. Not much news about it. So basically what I want to tell you is don't touch energy field. Understand? If your karma is such that you have to touch it, then please, yeah, develop the mindfulness. Understand? Like Qigong or what? The mindfulness is very good. But if you want to use the energy, it's your choice, understand? For healing and all those things. I mean, it can give you energy. It can release the chakra energy and heal. And sometimes you look at the Qigong, they can really create heat out of it and all things. They can do a lot of things. But I don't know. As far as I understand, this one doesn't lead to wisdom. Understand? But of course, just like the Hindu teaching, the yoga and all those things, they say they also got wisdom. They also meditate. So I also don't know. Because I never go into those fields. I cannot comment or say anything. But I know they have their good point. Yoga is relaxation. Understand? But Kundalini, I have heard about this tempering thing, which I personally, through my own understanding, is yes. You use your thought to go in before you are enlightened. You know what happened or not? Because your thought is energy. Without the wisdom, your yin yang is imbalanced. That's why you use that type of thing to force it open. You release the energy. Without wisdom, you cannot control. The Mara will attack you. The non-human will attack you. Your karmic, everything will go haywire. So that is basically what happened. And not only him, no, his whole group kena. Then I say, how come you didn't contact the Swami? He said, the Swami cannot be contacted. I reflected, it's their karma. Because last time they also play with it, get involved with it. Then they get people into trouble. Now, for no reason, one Swami come from India, they are one group, almost 30 of them, no? So interested, no? Went for the thing. No? Then after that, everyone panic. No? So this is what happens when you do not understand. You go and play the energy field. It's like, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And they call it the Jianghu, the law of swordsmanship. Where when you are in the swordsman world, People will come and challenge you. When you say you are the number one, they also want to become number one. So they will come and challenge you. That's why you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So psychic has that type of problem. Then when you have psychic, you tend to use it. Like it or not, it's a double-edged weapon. If you don't have the wisdom, if you use it wrongly, it will backfire. Okay?